You're listening to the top stories of 2016 on WFHB.
We bring you the most significant stories of the year
as they were reported by your friends and neighbors.
The face of Bloomington continues to transform
while local residents fight to save parts of the city they love.
Local people joined protests near and far
as Hoosiers help elect Republicans across state and federal governments.
From local to state to national news,
WFHB brought you the stories affecting our community.
Here are the top stories of 2016 on WFHB.
Welcome to the top stories of 2016. For WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn. Today's story is number 6 on our countdown, Incubating the Certified Tech Park. Plans for a certified technology park in Bloomington have been germinating for years. Branded as the Trades District, the area designated for the park is a parcel running from 7th Street North past 11th Street. On the east, it's bordered by Morton Street and includes the Dimension Mill building from the former Showers Brothers Furniture Factory. On the west, it stretches past Fairview. This year, newly elected Mayor John Hamilton took the reins to, quote, activate the tech park. Hamilton began by informing the Bloomington Redevelopment Commission in March that the city was scrapping plans to realign 10th Street, a major element of previous tech park plans.
We have really concluded that the current alignment of 10th Street will work fine. We save a lot of money if we don't have to realign a street that really is not a through street anyway, going west. And I haven't been able to get a full dollar figure on that, but I think we'll be saving multi-six-figure expenses by not straightening out that little curve in 10th Street. And our view is that indications are that the market will respond fine to that, that there will plenty of opportunities for property development. So in addition, any money that we save there lets us invest that money in other ways in the tech park to make enhancements to what we're doing.
In a November 25th Herald Times editorial, Director of Economic and Sustainable Development Alex Crowley said, quote, Bloomington has historically had a tendency to maintain fractured interests. He said those interest groups were sometimes at odds with each other. Indeed, this summer, the Hamilton administration's vision for the tech park appeared at odds with the vision the local tech community had for it. In our story from August 4th, some members of the Redevelopment Commission voice opposition to a new plan for the tech park. The story is read by WFHB anchors Ryan Stacey and Carolyn Vandeweel.
In their meeting this week, commission members were asked by city administrators to approve a contract with the urban design firm Anderson Bolander. City planner Andrew Sebor said that Anderson Bolander was being hired to delineate streets and sidewalks and to subdivide the tech park for development. Commission members David Walter and Katie Burge were highly vocal in their opposition to the plan put forward by the administration. Burge said she was, quote, very uncomfortable with how far this is getting away from the master plan, unquote.
I have a really hard time coming to terms with why we wouldn't look at the master plan when we're deciding roads. Why we're cutting up a tech park that's supposed to have a campus feel. Why the plats that are being proposed are, in some cases, smaller than what some of the businesses would like to see there. I just think a lot of those have been not addressed by the city for the commission, and I don't feel comfortable with this at all.
Commission members also voiced concern that they only had 3 days to review the contract prior to the meeting. Josh Anderson of Anderson Bolander said the project stemmed from the administration's decision not to go through with a major realignment of 10th Street. Anderson said the new plan would use some of the $4.5 million saved by not aligning 10th Street to build additional roads within the tech park. He noted that the grid-like street pattern would be similar to what exists in some other parts of town. Anderson went on to say that subdividing the land to create smaller lots would alleviate concerns that new developments downtown are too big and don't fit the area's existing fabric. Burge said the commission was left out of the decision-making process.
I don't think it's ever been explained to the commission, aside from the mayor saying it was desirable. It's never been explained to us what cost savings are being realized by not realigning 10th. The master plan doesn't anywhere call for an additional street that cuts right through the middle of what's envisioned as a campus. This master plan went through extensive vetting, charrette after charrette, focus group after focus group. It was approved by the Redevelopment Commission. And Linda, you mentioned the Redevelopment Commission agreed that 10th Street doesn't need to be realigned. Well, we didn't have a resolution on that or anything. It was just the mayor coming up here saying, this is what I want. And we didn't have any kind of formal vote saying, yes, we agree.
Commission member David Walter agreed with Burge. Walter also pressed for information about who was behind the current proposal.
There were in the master plan items such as greenways, water retention, other features. Yet this grid has no relationship to the topography. It has nothing to do with the existing trees, some of which are substantial. It has nothing to do with anything that's there. It's just something that's laid out that you're saying, well, historically, it's that way elsewhere in the city, but you go to the campus of Indiana University, you don't see that grid. You go elsewhere in the city, you don't see that grid. So why is the grid so important, and who came up with this plan? That was never told to us.
Walter said that approximately one-third of the tech park would be lost to streets and cars.
Representing the administration at the Redevelopment Commission meeting, Bloomington Economic and Sustainable Development Director Linda Williamson assured Walter and Burge that the administration had considered many factors, including input from companies interested in the tech park. Burge, Walter, and Commission member Sue Scambillouri said they would vote down the contract unless they could get more information.
I would need to be reassured that if the master plan is being redesigned by whoever, or if people in the city are making decisions that deviate so much from the master plan, we have to have the ability for the stakeholders in the tech park who were part of this long, laborious process to have a say in whether or not such substantial changes are okay.
Requests by Scambillouri and Burge for more time to develop questions and or gather public input were met with impatience by Chairman Donald Griffin, who said, quote, "We got to get this done. We're not going to hold this up forever," unquote.
The local tech community responded by forming the Digital Neighborhood Alliance with hopes of influencing the city's decisions regarding the tech park. This next story begins when I attended the launch of the Digital Neighborhood Alliance on August 15th. There's been a bit of a pull and tug recently between the Bloomington Redevelopment Commission and the city over the commission's delay in approving a contract for design and engineering services for the certified tech park. Last Thursday, a group of Bloomington tech companies launched the Digital Neighborhood Alliance as a unified effort to keep the city focused on what the tech park is about, a home for the local tech community. Sproutbox co-founder Mike Trotsky described the alliance.
It's a collection of tech companies here in Bloomington that have come together to work to build some new development in, hopefully, in the certified tech park. So there's about 10 companies involved, and we're all currently looking for space, and most importantly, we would like to be together. We really feel like one of the core advantages that we have here in Bloomington is that we don't fight each other for talent and for government incentives.
Trotsky and Ari Vidali, founder of Envisage Technologies, say they've been in on the process to create a tech park from the beginning. They believe there could be rapid growth in the future if they could just get the tech park activated in a way that supports innovation and growth. Here's Ari Vidali speaking at last week's launch of the Digital Neighborhood Alliance.
For years, we have worked with the city of Bloomington to create a visionary master plan for an innovation neighborhood. A place where we can collaborate, where we can share and develop new ideas, grow our companies together, foster innovation, and attract the brightest minds to join us. To do this well, you've got to have a vision that goes beyond old patterns and models that are sort of part of the waning industrial age. It's a new time, it's a new world, and we need to think differently about how we create spaces for technologists. Now, many of us here, and I see some of the faces, collaborated on the master plan for Bloomington for the Trades District. We developed a joint vision for such a place. We brought it into public forum, and a lot of people collaborated and worked on that. But the city pushed reset on that project, and so we're here to try and assist our civic leaders in making good long-term choices. Together, we are going to speak with one voice regarding our long-term needs. We want to partner with the city to create something truly remarkable, something vibrant, something innovative, a place we all can call home.
The master plan for the tech park says it should provide a, quote, active, walkable, and bikeable environment connected to downtown, neighborhoods, parks, and the Beeline Trail, unquote. The master plan also describes a tech campus linked by a central collaborative open space. And here's where some members of the Redevelopment Commission are saying, hold on a minute. The Anderson Bolander project doesn't mesh with the master plan. It proposes an urban grid of streets subdividing the 12 acres of the tech park. You might ask why a campus feel with open collaborative spaces is so important. Vidali and his COO Michelle Cole, along with Trotsky of Sproutbox, maintain that creating collidable moments in nature is key to innovation. Vidali says innovation happens in free flow and says, quote, to think outside the box, you have to get outside the box, unquote.
So we can't really live in a grid environment. We need to be in a very innovative environment where there's a lot of green space. As Michelle was saying, we do all of our meetings walking. So streets create barriers to that kind of thing. We want to be as close to the beeline as we can be, for example. I mean, part of the reason that land is very interesting is that the beeline runs right through it. And we spend hours with our people walking the beeline solving problems. And walkability is very, very important to our needs.
Trotsky says Bloomington's tech companies provide more than 150 local jobs, and he says that number could grow rapidly. And they don't fight each other for talent. It's about creating a tech ecosystem, he says.
What you're trying to do is build an ecosystem between brand new startups and small companies and large companies. They hire from each other. People spin out of the large companies to start startups. When those startups fail, they go back to employee at the large companies. That's the small ecosystem. And when somebody says it's not possible here, the truth is an ecosystem really only takes probably 150 people. It's just about getting that first unit of ecosystem. Now, we're not going to have 1,000 units of ecosystem like they have in the Valley, but we can certainly build one unit.
Trotsky says the Digital Neighborhood Alliance will be able to attract talent from the East and West Coasts with the quality of place aspects Bloomington offers. So who are these companies who are informing the idea of an urban grid and even a previous decision the city made to not realign 10th Street? Katie Birch, who's a member of the Redevelopment Commission and an employee of Envisage Technologies, says the commission has not been told. City of Bloomington Economic and Sustainable Development Director Linda Williamson says she can't say.
Because they're confidential projects at this point, their own competitive reasons as well as reasons of negotiation. So until further notice, no.
Who's behind the new vision is only one of several points of concern for members of the Redevelopment Commission. Here's Commission member Sue Scambaluri.
Those kinds of questions fall into basically two categories. First category is questions about the plan itself. How does the Anderson Bolander work relate to the original master plan done in 2013? What about these things that seem to deviate from the master plan? What about this element? What about that element? I think there will also be questions about process. One of the things that's been very important is to stay in consultation with the tech community as the tech park comes together. We want to make sure that there are with Anderson Bolander and the changes it might represent, we have a chance to bring in the tech sector and those are who are going to be most affected by the space there. Truly, I think the commission is very committed to seeing the tech park happen. I think the city administration is very committed to seeing the tech park happen. We just know we get one chance to do this, and it's going to shape the next 40 years of what downtown looks like, so we want to be sure we get it right.
Listening to the top stories of 2016 on WFHB. In today's episode, we take a look at the development of Bloomington's Certified Tech Park, also referred to as the Trades District. Some citizens oppose the development of the Tech Park. The Bloomington Solidarity Network fears its development will result in the gentrification of Bloomington's more affordable downtown neighborhoods. The network describes itself as a volunteer network of individuals who defend each other through collective action. In this next story, News Director Joe Crawford speaks with two Bloomington Solidarity Network organizers, Matt Gias and Adam Scouten. Scouten speaks first.
As a organization that works for the mutual benefit of tenants, gentrification is sort of the long game. You know, we could fight all these small battles day to day, but if we're not fighting these larger structural problems, then we're ultimately fighting a losing battle. So that's why the Certified Tech Park, or what is now or will be called the Trades District, got our attention. Effectively, it's being built close to areas which are some of the last relatively affordable places to live in downtown Bloomington. The Maple Heights area has been one of our focuses, but the Near West Side and extending all the way to Crestmont down 11th Street. And what the Certified Tech Park will do is, by developing that land, will raise the property values all around it, make the cost of living go up all around it, while all the benefits go right back into the Tech Park. And Matt could probably talk more about the tax element in that. But we view it as a large project, basically funded by taxpayers, organized by the city, that is like a gift to tech companies that will have negative effects on residents.
What a city government essentially does when it creates like this certain tax zone, it creates what's called a redevelopment commission. And the redevelopment commission finds areas in a city and says, like, this is in a state of disuse. And when they claim that, they're allowed to create a zone that's financed by tax increment financing, and they call it a TIF zone. And what they do is assess the base property value and then begin redeveloping this real estate or this property. And what happens most often is that they do this in order not to create anything of like communal value, but to incentivize private businesses to take residence in these newly renovated buildings, which increases the property value even further. And within this TIF, tax increment financing zone, the redevelopment commission is able to collect the tax money, what's called equalized assessed value, an EAV, and take the original assessed base sum of the property, let's say it was $1 million, and let's say it increased because of this new private business, this tenant that moved in, to like, let's say $20 million. The city is able to collect all of that tax revenue and reinvest it back into the TIF zone.
Geographically into that specific area.
Yeah, exactly. And the Redevelopment Commission is like the sole proprietor of this money. The city doesn't use it for any other community purposes. It's used exclusively for this one TIF zone.
Let's talk about what the arguments typically are for TIF districts, as well as the arguments for the Certified Tech Park. And the gist of it is that folks who support these projects say that they bring economic development, which will help the entire community, will bring companies that will have jobs, and it will bring more people who have money to spend at local businesses, et cetera, et cetera.
Every effort at sort of incentivizing like a local economy in this very like centralized private way results in the elimination or disappearance of a certain group of people. In this case, it would be like the Maple Heights affordable housing area, because any sort of economic growth that would occur in this area would directly affect all of the surrounding property values. So the only thing that would happen is that rent prices for the people who need rent control the most would soar. Landlords who own properties in there, whose property values would go up themselves, would begin selling their properties to people who could pay these larger sums of money, and to other sort of more wealthy landlords who could buy the properties themselves and redevelop these areas.
There has been talk about some affordable housing as part of this agreement. Has that ameliorated your concerns at all?
No, it hasn't really ameliorated our concerns. And the actual first development project is the building of some senior housing where Bender Lumber used to be. This appears to me, and I think is pretty clearly an intentional way to make it seem as if this is a project designed for community needs and not just an incentive for large corporations. Because in the long run, the totality of the project is not at all geared towards making life more affordable in the area around the tech park.
So there is that land there that's not really developed right now. What would you like to see done with that land?
We've definitely had a lot of discussions on alternatives for that land. I want to say that any proposal I would like to see, and I think we'd all like to see, to organically come out of sort of the popular movement against the tech park, as you know, what people who live in that area want to see that land used for. This is not officially what the Solidarity Network is proposing, but it seems very popular, is the idea of putting a year-round shelter there. It's a vital need for the city. We don't have a year-round shelter anymore. It would be just fine if that land was used just for events. Like, nothing necessarily has to be built there. I drove by it today and it was being used for a baseball game. So we see those things as people-first options.
Despite the Bloomington Solidarity Network's concerns, the Trades District is rapidly taking shape. This fall, auto parts manufacturer Chuchia Group committed to locating its corporate headquarters and a design and development center in the Tech Park. WFHB brought you that story on November 17th, which is read by WFHB anchors Scott Weddle and Janae Cummings.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton announced today that the city plans to give an acre of downtown property to an auto parts manufacturer that wants to make its North American corporate headquarters there. Hamilton made the announcement this morning at what is known as the Dimension Mill building. The structure just north of City Hall is mostly empty now, but it once was the home of the Showers Brothers Furniture Factory Warehouse. The city wants to give the building, along with its 0.9-acre property, to the Tsuchiya Group, a company that is run by Indiana University trustee Melanie Walker. The company's primary customer is Toyota, although they also serve other automotive producers. Though the city will sell the land for only $1, Hamilton says that the Tsuchiya Group's parent company, Tasis, will make investments in the property.
Tasis will invest over $9 million to develop the property with an architecturally significant new building of 40,000 square feet or more. They'll create the Tasis North American Headquarters Design and Development Center, retain 34 full-time professional positions, and create at least 18 new positions, including a dozen engineers and other professionals. Ensure the average wage of these positions will be commensurate with professional level salary plus benefits, and develop this property within a reasonable period of time.
Now, it's not clear exactly how much the 0.9-acre parcel of land is worth. The city paid about $750,000 per acre in 2011 when the city bought the mill, along with 11 more acres of downtown property from Indiana University. Besides the free property, the city administration has also proposed giving Tsuchiya a tax break, cutting about 70% of its property taxes over a 10-year period. The Indiana Economic Development Corporation is also offering up to $300,000 in tax credits and more than $40,000 worth of training grants.
What does this mean for the Trades District? It means we're going to see a facility more modern and high-tech than we have ever had in the area. When this facility opens its doors, it will help usher in a new era of creative technical design, engineering, and corporate leadership here in the Trades District.
The company currently employs 34 people. It is expected to add 18 more jobs if the plan comes to fruition. Hamilton made the announcement this morning along with IU President Michael McRobbie, Bloomington Economic Development Corporation President Lynn Coyne, and Melanie Walker, the IU trustee, who is also the CEO of Tsuchiya.
Although the mood this morning at the Dimension Mill building was celebratory, some Bloomington residents are critical of the Tsuchiya deal. Adam Scotton of the Bloomington Solidarity Network points out that the city purchased the land from the university in 2011, only to then give the land to a company run by an IU trustee.
It's just a further indication that the university is more and more acting like a corporate entity under the guise of a nonprofit, that it is drawing in funds from tuition and from now from funds being transferred from the city and from taxpayers to be available to the university to invest in corporate speculation.
The Tech Park / Trades District appears positioned to take off. In his Herald Times editorial last month, Economic Development Director Alex Crowley says the recent Tech Park developments will allow Bloomington to live up to its potential for innovation and the creation of job opportunities. You're listening to the top stories of 2016 on WFHB. We're counting down the most significant stories of the year as they were reported by our team of more than 100 citizen journalists. You just heard number 6 on our countdown, Incubating the Certified Tech Park. Tune in tomorrow at 5:30 when story number 5 is revealed. The Best of 2016 is a production of the WFHB News Department. For WFHB, I'm Sarah Vaughn. I produced today's report with contributions from News Director Joe Crawford.